So we've been on a bit of a journey so far. Hopefully it'll make sense where we end up when we get there. We started the first day. I did tell you I like my blobs. Think about how you felt about being here at Letton. Yesterday I asked you to think about again how you felt and if you felt any different. And maybe today, if one of them doors was thinking about being here at Letton, perhaps you're really enjoying it now and you weren't to begin with. Then yesterday we looked a little bit about what it's like at home. Really encourage you, get prayer support. If life's tough, get someone to pray with you. So, I want you to imagine, okay, you are one of those blobs, obviously that's part of the game, okay, and on the left bottom hand side, okay, is life perhaps as a not a Christian. On the top right hand side is life as a Christian. How's it going for you living as a Christian? Don't answer out loud. How's it going for you as a Christian? Is it going well? You know, you're on the right-hand side, you're doing a little dance. Maybe you're pointing at people. Maybe you've got some friends there together. Maybe you're on the bridge. You're on the way. Things are okay. Maybe it feels like you fell off the bridge. Because maybe for you, it feels like you get it wrong all the time. Maybe for you, you're on the left-hand side and you are a bit like the horrible, stubborn person with his looking very frown-like, saying, I am not crossing that bridge. No way am I going across that bridge. Maybe you feel like you're chained to the left-hand side and you don't feel able to cross the bridge. For each of us, however much we stand up here and look like we've got it sorted or we lead things or we do some singing at the front, at times we could be anywhere on that diagram. Because the Christian life isn't just simple, get across the bridge, everything's going to be okay. There are times when it feels really tough. There's times where it feels like that you're nowhere. For some of you, you're still deciding if you want to be a Christian. You're deciding if it's worth it because it looks like it's too much. Take your time in that decision. But when you've decided you want to do it, then get across the bridge. Don't wait. Don't wait to be perfect. Don't wait till everything's sorted, but get across the bridge. Another spelling mistake. I do it on purpose for you. So, if you looked at so far, God is on mission. That's why I say Missio Day, not Mission Day. That's a posh phrase. If you want to go back and ask any youth leaders at home or church leaders or parents, what is it all about Missio Day? We looked at Shalom, another posh word, as you know. We looked at the fact that God wants us to join in with this Missio Day that he's on, this mission of God. He wants us to be part of it. And the fact is that it's normal and it's everyday life that we lead that causes people to know about him. So what do I say when I go and how do I go? Okay, if I go up to you and I say, hello there. Are you okay? Do you know the Lord? Brilliant. Have you been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? You think so? You don't know. And if he doesn't know, it's very unlikely that most of your friends will know that. Because being a Christian, sometimes we can make it incredibly complicated. And we think we have to use certain language to actually make people understand what it is to be a Christian. When actually, it might be really, really simple. Hey. Well done. Okay, so could everyone please read this out to me all together, starting now? Excellent. That was very good. And could you please put your hand up in agreement to this statement? Yes. Who agrees with this statement? Who doesn't agree with this statement? Why don't you agree with this statement, Jay? You don't believe the core beliefs of the statement? Okay. Okay. And why, there's a whole load of people in the middle here who didn't put their hands up. Why do people not decide it? Why have you decided if you don't agree or agree with this statement? It's not relevant. It's incredibly relevant, and you'll find out in a moment. Why? You don't understand it. You don't understand this, Matt. Okay, can put your hand up if you understand this statement. Well done, Amy. You speak Russian? If you speak Russian, you'll be able to read this fluently. Most people can't normally read Russian, so I'm normally safe. Okay? So Matt can't agree if he actually agrees or not. Okay? This says, thank you for your comment, Jay. That was really helpful now. I smell like a cabbage and look like a rat. I smell like a cabbage and look like a rat. That's what it looks like in Russian to say that. sometimes when we go to our friends, okay, we work out that God wants us to go, and we say to them, be a Christian. And they say, okay, I'll be a Christian. But they don't understand what you're saying. It's like you're speaking Russian to them. Because we expect people to be on the same page as we're on. We don't understand that maybe it's not quite as obvious as we think it is. Has anyone here ever decided to cook a frog? If you get a pot of boiling water and you find a live frog in your garden and you put it into that pot of boiling water, the frog will jump out very quickly because it doesn't like boiling water. But if you put a frog in cold water, he likes that. If you then turn the heat up underneath it, he doesn't understand that it's getting hotter, and slowly he boils to death. Alive. Well, he dies in the end, but he dies alive. So many of you exist in church your whole life, and you're a bit like the frog that's in some boiling water and you started in cold. And it all feels very normal to you. Because it changes little by little. And you think, this is fine. And you take your friends and you say, friend, come to church, come to an event, come to something with me. And you plunge them into this pot of boiling water and they jump out as quick as they can. And they go, no way, that's a bit weird. And tomorrow we're going to think a bit more about church. So I'm not talking about that today. But so often the language that we use, the way we try and talk to our friends about God, if we decide that, yes, we want them to know about it, it makes no sense. It feels alien. It just causes them to jump out as quick as they can and run away. It's like we're talking Russian to them. Okay, I need you to get into groups, not yet, of four or five people where you're sitting. And you'll need a Bible. And you will need to... Well, first of all, let's find Acts 10 in our Bibles. So if you've got a Bible with you, find the book of Acts. It's the fifth book of the New Testament. It's about four-fifths of the way through your Bible. If you don't know where it is, use the contents page. That's at the front of your Bible. If you haven't got a Bible with you, then just look at your friend's Bible. Acts chapter 10. Now, because I've got a lot to say, and I don't want to talk too quickly, you've only got a very, very, very short amount of time to do this. I want you to answer these questions in your groups. I will be coming around to find out if you're talking about who's going to win the talent show tonight, although that will be me. But I need you to know that you're concentrating on this. Acts 10. It's okay, you've got to speed read it. I suggest you read it yourself. If you can't read, then just read every other word. You'll get the idea. It's about two people, Peter and Cornelius. It is about Peter and Cornelius. Have I got the right reference, someone? Thank you. So, wait a moment. I want you to talk about in your groups. What do we see as unclean in our community, or who do we see as unclean in our community within our society? Who wouldn't you be willing to baptize or allow to be a Christian? Are we willing to go where God sends us? Do we get too religious? What does God think about all this stuff? Read the story. The questions make more sense. You've only got a short amount of time. Get in groups. Leaders, can you make sure people are in groups or join groups? That'd be great. Thank you very much. Okay. You won't have answered every question. Okay. So, the main part of the story, you've got a guy called Peter and Cornelius, okay? And Peter is one of the disciples. He's spent some time with Jesus. He's got everything sorted. Well, he never got anything. He always messed up. But he's one of the disciples, and he's telling lots of people about God, about Jesus. It's all going well. And he says to Peter, says, you need to go to Cornelius. And Peter gets upset about that and says, there's no way. I can't do that. Don't be so stupid. Cornelius isn't a Jew. Okay? Cornelius is a person who fears God, but he isn't a Jew. And Peter's told to go, even though it doesn't feel right. And God challenges him and says, oi, stop being so religious. Stop being so pious. Stop being so holy. And get on and tell everyone about me. Now, some of you would have been to church your whole life. You'll know all the right answers. That's great. But I want you to, as much as possible, be honest with yourself, even if you can't be honest verbally. Okay? As we think about these questions, who is it? Who do we see as unclean in our community, within our society? Now, we all know, because we're good people, that God loves everyone. But if you were put in a situation where an individual came to you and said, I want to be a Christian, is there anything that would stop you allowing that person to be a Christian? I'm being sensitive because of age of people in the room, so please bear with me. But if someone came to you and they had offended children regularly, is that person someone that you'd be happy to go, yeah, go for it, be a Christian? If you met someone who had attacked people, attacked girls over and over again sexually, didn't give any disregard for them, and said, yeah, I want to be a Christian, are we okay with that? Because the likelihood is, the people we write down on a piece of paper, the people we pray for regularly, are nice people. They're good people. They're people we like to hang out with. They're people who, you know, these are decent people. They'd fit into Christianity quite nicely. They wouldn't cause much trouble within my church or within my group. It would all be okay. But is that as far as God wants us to go? Or maybe God wants us to go to those people in your school who act in a way which is way different to how you would want a Christian to act. Perhaps God wants you to hang out with the people who obviously no way, in the way that they live their lives, in the things that they do, they have no concept of God. And that's where God says, that's where I want you to be a Christian. Yesterday I told you about the two Christians who sold themselves as slaves. When we say that, we can, you know, that all sounds lovely. But what does it really mean? To take your life completely in freedom now and to go and sell yourself as a slave for the rest of your life, to be treated as nothing, beaten to death probably, just for the sake of Christ. What does it mean for you to give up your dreams, your aims, your things you've got in store to say, God, for you, this is what I'll do? You may have heard of the nurse, whose name I've forgotten at the moment, who contracted Ebola and has just been back in hospital again. And she went, she was in Scotland, quite happy, Christian as far as I can tell from the research I've done. And she hears the cry, she's a nurse from the Save the Children, say, we need nurses. To go to this place where there's a disease which you will catch and will kill you. And she says, I'll go. Twice she's been at death's door. Twice God has saved her. The stories that we hear of the past aren't as remote as perhaps we think. What is it God saying to you about the thousands of people, homeless people, living out in fields right across Europe within 2 hours' flight of where we are right now? What's God saying to you about them people? They don't matter? It's their fault where they were born? Do these people need help? Do these people need God? What is it that God wants us to do? I tell you what he doesn't want us to do. Nothing. I don't care if you think the answer is political. I don't care if you think the answer is to give them food. I don't care if you think the answer is to combat it at source, to bring millions of people into this country. That isn't part of today's discussion. But the answer isn't nothing, whatever the answer is. Because God is a God on mission that wants to bring this world back to perfection, great, amazing, shalom. And it's not. It's not in that place. That isn't where it's at. It's happening. It's happened again today, over and over again. I've seen it happening here at Letton. But Letton isn't this world. This world is out there, and people deserve to know who God is. People deserve to be part of his kingdom. People deserve to experience the kingdom of God here on earth. It's not easy. It's much easier to actually talk to people who are like us. Again, in your groups, this is a lot easier. Okay, so you've decided that it's important to go and tell a group of, not your friends, but a group within your school. You need to go and tell them about God, okay? If you talk about Jesus, they're going to think you're swearing at them, they're going to join in, okay? If you talk about the Bible, they're going to think about a dusty old book that has no relevance. If you talk about church, they're going to think about old people who smell and can't sing. Old people do smell. Is there any in the room, old people? No. See, this is why I like working with young people. Because when you smell, I'll say, have a shower. You stink. If I say that to old people on a Tuesday when they come for their lunch club, they tell me off in church. Well, I found that out. Anyway, so you've got a group of friends at school, okay, and you need to tell them about God, okay? So let's think a little bit out of the box because the box is so small. I want you to think of the best Disney or Pixar film that tells the gospel message. Has to be Disney or Pixar. Go in your groups. The best Disney or Pixar film that tells the gospel message. Okay. I've heard one answer, which is a bit obvious. I hadn't thought of it, so it's not that obvious. Hang on. Right, so let's go round. Each group has an answer. Go. Lion King, why?
His father sacrifices himself for his son.
Sounds good to me. Over here.
Oh, well, I said Frozen. Because, what's he called? Hans, the baddie, is attractive and she falls in love with him and it's everything that she wants, but really, so that's the world. And what's the other guy? Kristoff.
Kristoff is not Jesus.
Is Jesus. And he's been there all along. Jesus likes animals.
Reindeers are better than... So, right, sorry, right, okay. Over here. Which group? Who we got? You don't know what the answer is. Oh, dear.
Narnia.
Okay. Jesus loves us all. Apparently, that isn't Disney. It is. It isn't. Okay. As the holder of the microphone, Narnia's out of the picture. Next.
Wally.
Why Wally? Wait.
Wally.
Okay. No reason for Wally, but Wally. Okay. Over here. Yes?
Nemo. Because, like...
Excuse me. Shh.
Like the father's looking for the son, so it's like God looking for us.
Wow, that's good. Over here, no, we haven't got Narnia anymore.
We did Nemo as well, but we said like he never loses faith and he always finds his father, and he's even though he's got people against him, he still continues to search.
Bruce, okay, we had. Did you have one? No, okay, right. Here, which one we got here?
We said Toy Story because the song "You Got a Friend in Me" is kind of a little bit like God saying "You've got a friend in me." Like when like life is hard, like you've got me to be by your side.
Very good. Here,
we said Nemo as well because Nemo, being us, runs away out of his own ignorance, wanting to touch the boat, and then he gets taken away, and then Marlin does what he can to swim and find him.
So, loving Jesus is like touching the butt. Cool.
All right. We said Wreck-It Ralph because at the end of the film, Ralph sacrifices himself to get rid of the evil dude, which is kind of like sin. So, Ralph is like Jesus. So, he sacrifices himself to save the whole arcade. But then, at the end, Ralph comes back and he just kind of chills in the arcade afterwards. So.
Jesus chills in the arcade. Matt, I think I need to bring the microphone to you. We got very excited.
Sorry, I just had an inspiration moment. Snow White and the Huntsman, yeah? And the dwarves, obviously, wanted to follow Snow White. They saw something in Snow White that made them want to follow her.
My challenge is that near enough, any film, I limited it for this conversation, actually has a story that links to the gospel message. And if you're trying to think about how to explain God to your friends or to this group that aren't your friends, but you need to actually be honest with, I think talking about the latest film that's out or the film that you're watching and actually not cheesy going, and that's like my friend Jesus. But thinking about the power of the gospel and the world that we live in, it over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. In the most limited way, in every single film, it's like a law, apparently. Good wins. They did an experiment. They put a film out, limited release. How many people can see it? Evil wins. Society doesn't do well. Because they then the message starts to get through. Good has to win. That's part of society. That's part of how it works. That's part of what happens. In each film, you think of good wins. Well, in most, some of them don't, but that's because I don't like them. So what is it about the gospel message that's important to you? If I said to you, what is the gospel message? What's the most important thing? You've got one line you can tell me, and that doesn't mean lots of commas, okay? But one line you can tell me, what is the gospel message that you think's important? I'm not going to ask you that because I'm running out of time. So, pretend you've thought about that. And then, this is one way of doing it. Some of you have seen this before. Some of you will know this off by heart. I think Decker knows this off by heart. Decker's going to help me with this first. He's going to look at his wrist. And, no, it's too late for that. So this is called the four points because sometimes it's a bit hard to remember the gospel. And the four, number one is, God loves me. God loves you. Do you know, so many people start with the gospel message saying that you're a sinner. I don't think that's a good place to start. Okay? God loves me. I have sinned. I've made a mistake. God loves me is number one. That's what comes first. God's love is the thing we want people to know about, not the fact that God thinks you're useless. If you ask most people who aren't Christians or don't go to church, it's like, well, God don't like me. Well, I've messed up. I'm no good. I've got a friend, really good friend, Chris and Kim. They weren't going anywhere near church because they had sex before marriage, which means they had a son, and they say, we can never be a Christian now. We can never, what's that about? That's a load of rubbish. But I cannot get past that because that is what so many people have told them. They've had people tell them, well, God don't like you now. Well, I'm afraid God don't like any of us because of sin. Because number one, God loves us no matter what we've done. God loves us no matter who we are. God loves us no matter how rubbish we are. Why? Because Jesus does something. What does he do, number three? Okay, Jesus died for me. This thing about Easter, okay, has very little to do about bunnies and very little to do about chocolate. A little bit more about eggs, but not a lot, okay? Easter is so much to do with the fact that Jesus died and then rose again. But Jesus died because I'm a sinner. But first of all, what is it? God loves me. God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. And then number four is about us deciding to live for God. It's back to the bridge. Deciding to cross the bridge and say, God, I want to live for you. If you get to that point with your friends, praise God. But you know what? If we go back to the first day and we say God's on mission, you need to understand that if you take, let's take a generic friend of all of yours called Bob. And Bob spends a few hours with you at school, or maybe Bob spends a few hours with you at sports club, maybe he spends a few hours with you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the others. But Bob has a whole load of his life that he doesn't spend any time with you at all with. But what you can be sure of is that all of his life, God is with him. And God is revealing stuff to him. God is showing him the wonders of the universe. God is showing to him that he loves him over and over again. In Romans it says, creation itself proves that God loves us, is alive, exists. So we mustn't get so caught up that we have to get to point four, or we have to make sure they've read the whole of the Bible, or we have to make sure we're told them the whole of the gospel the very first time we speak to them. Otherwise, they might die and go to hell. Which isn't likely to happen that moment. It may happen that moment, but isn't likely to happen that moment. We want them to know that God loves them. Yesterday, talked about the fact, the way people will know that God loves them is if you love them. The way people know what a Christian is because of the way you act. For some of you, your friends will say, that's what a Christian is, looking right at you. And that's what a Christian does, that's what I can do. That's how a Christian acts, that's how I can act. That's how a Christian talks first thing in the morning, that's the language they use, that's the attitude they have towards life, that's the selfish way that they exist, they're the sort of things they get up to, that's how they treat people they don't like. That must be what a Christian is. The way we show the fact that God loves them is by showing them in our lives that God's love is unconditional. That God's love doesn't run out, doesn't stop, doesn't decrease. It just goes on and it goes on and it goes on. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. God's on mission. He's doing a whole load of stuff around the world. His aim is to bring back the Garden of Eden. It will happen. It's called heaven. He's not going to give up. He's just going to continue doing it. He says, come and get part of the mission. Come and be part of it. Come and join in. Let's do it together. And I'll get you to do some of the stuff. I'll get you to live it. I'll get you to transform people's lives. I'll even do miracles for you sometimes. I'll bring words of knowledge. When you speak to people, they'll go, wow, how did you know that? How did you know that to be true? Together, we'll do this mission. We'll make this world back to the place it needs to be. Now get out there and start talking to people. Get out there and live the Christian life with people. Not just the people you like, not just those who are nice. But you know what? I want them all to be saved. I want every single one of them to be saved. I want every single one of them who spends every single day in the pub to be saved. Those who spend all their time online looking at stuff they shouldn't look at. All them that are in prison. I want all them that think disgusting thoughts. I want all them who feel worthless. I want all them that hate themselves. I want all them that think they're ugly and not worth anything. I want them all to know that I love them. If we started to do that unconditionally in the places we are, so much of our county would be transformed. It would be changed. People would have a different idea of what it means for there to be a God alive. If we continue to do nothing, but it's not nothing. For me, nothing is in the negative. It ends up going backwards. Tomorrow we're going to think about what does that look like in the context of church. I think a bit about what that looks like in the context of being able to spend time supporting each other because we don't do it on our own. But tonight we want an opportunity to pray for people. And we're going to give space for people to receive prayer. We do that regularly, I know. As we met as leaders, I felt God had laid one or two things on leaders' minds. Matt's going to share something in a moment that God laid on his mind. God speaks. God is a supernatural God that speaks powerfully. And there may be other leaders that speak words, prophetic words. And I'm going to ask Rachel to come and lead some worship as we respond to that, as we offer prayer for that. And maybe for you, you're not even sure there's a God. Maybe for you, nothing that what we share is relevant. Maybe for you, it's all very normal and standard. And it's all fine. It's all okay. So, but maybe if you don't need prayer, maybe you don't want to actually stop and be prayed for. Maybe for you it's just a case of sitting quietly. Perhaps it's praying for others. But as I often say to the young people I work with all the time, whatever you do, don't get in the way of other people meeting with God. There is a program. The times on your clock will tell you the program's not quite what you thought it might be. That ain't going to matter for a few moments. We're just going to spend some time.